Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, hello, I'm Janet Morena, Executive Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to our program. Well, today's topic is a little bit different, but it's such an important topic because you know why, brothers and sisters, there is a lot of couples in our country who are getting divorced. Unfortunately, you know, they can't seem to work things out. So they decide that's it. We have to live separately, but there's children involved. And then what happens with the children? Well, there's good ways to do this, and there's ways that could be more harmful to your children. So today we're going to discuss real, you know, important stuff about suggestions about co-parenting. Did you hear that word? Co-parenting. We're going to explore that with an expert. Her name is Tammy Doherty. She's written a book, which we're going to talk about, but she has co-founded and founded Co-Parenting International. So welcome to the program, Tammy.
Thank you so much, Janet. It's an honor to be with you.
And great to have you.
To your audience.
So my first question is, what was the thing that got you started on establishing this advice to divorced couples, to couples who were in the process of divorcing, mm-hmm. or even if they're already divorced, this term co-parenting? What got you involved?
Well, it's interesting, Janet. I think looking back, I'm 53 now. I think God started preparing me for this work when I was a child. I come from a divided family. I was actually an unplanned pregnancy. They were quickly married in a little farm town out in Colorado in 1968, 69. And then here I came. But mom and dad were divorced when I was one. So I grew up in a divided family. Now they were both really important and passionate and loved me and showed up. But as a kid, I experienced a lot of complications with co-parenting. So fast forward, I live in Nashville, Tennessee. I was married 8 years, 5 years of marriage and family counseling because I never ever wanted to be divorced. But when our daughter was one, her dad and I became co-parents. And so that was in the year of 2000. And to be honest, I was looking for resources back then to help us because I knew a lot of what the experience was for children, but I wanted to learn from other parents who had done this, with their children for years. And I started looking for books and videos and resources. And unfortunately, I couldn't find anything. There were a few things out there, but they had such a negative, harsh title that I didn't even want to touch those books. So I used to be an event producer. And so I started producing events for divorced parents, having experts come in and talk to them and just expose hope to hurting moms and dads and help them know that they can get through this and that their children can thrive. And that not that we're endorsing divorce or trying to say it's easy, but we're trying to bring hope to moms and dads and be a voice for kids. So there's a couple puzzle pieces that God has used my life experience to also now do this ministry. And then I'll say the last thing there is I did go to Trevecca here in Nashville, got a master's in marriage and family therapy to really focus on conflict in families and trying to help people process that. And so I have a master's in marriage and family and run a counseling center here and then travel and speak all over the country, just speaking up for kids and families in complicated relationships. So I've lived it and I care about it and I'll do this till my last dying breath.
Well, and then, you know, Tammy, as a couple journeys to that point where they say, that's it, we're getting a divorce, or one of them tells the other one, I'm out of here, I'm leaving.
Sure.
There's things that lead up to that. Sometimes it's years, sometimes it's months, whatever. But the thing I think is the worst thing that parents do is they argue within earshot of the kids. So the kids are hearing all this negativity, the name calling, the arguing, the fighting. You know, what can you speak to that in your experience?
Well, sure. A couple of things. One is children are going to feel, even if mom and dad try to put on a fake happy face in front of them, kids pick up on feelings and how the emotional, climate sort of is at home. And so the most important thing I think for parents, especially if they're considering separating, or maybe they already are, is to try to always think about how to protect the kids. And protecting the kids means, yeah, we're going to have those hard arguments, but trying to shield them from that is one of the first most important things parents can do. Now, people listening today may say, well, that's too late, right? We argued in front of them for years and then we divorced. And so the good news is, even if children have been exposed to arguments and pain between their parents, what happens after they separate and move into two spaces, that is what has the most long-lasting effect on the kids. And so one of the number one things, Janet, that I always say to parents is, you know, they're going to go through what we call a handoff, where they exchange kids back and forth between mom's and dad's homes. And that may happen at a parking lot at McDonald's, or it might be at the front door of one of their homes. How they do that, quite honestly, is one of the most important factors moving forward, because kids are going to go through that experience anywhere from 400 to 600 times in their childhood. So usually there is pain leading up to the decision to separate and divorce, and that's not easy on anyone. And also, I forgot to say, you know, I work with kids age 6 and up. I think one of the greatest gifts that parents could give their children, no matter what their family system is like, is to consider giving them some time with a play therapist if they're young, with a therapist who works with teens, a safe place to talk outside of mom and dad's earshot. Because kids are going to feel things and experience things, and they're going to be a little uncomfortable even talking about it to their parents. So I'm a huge advocate for trying to give kids a safe place to talk. And sometimes that just starts with the school guidance counselor, you know, someone, an adult in their family that, or in the child's life experience, that they could have a trusted, safe conversation with. So there's nothing easy or pretty about divorce and its effect on adults and kids. Everybody's hurting. But those children, you know, trying to figure out, is there any way we can compartmentalize the arguments, the negativity between us, and protect our kids from hearing that?
Yeah. Well, I think the exchange of the children probably is one of the more difficult challenges there, because like you just said, I don't think the ideal place is, you know, it's mom's turn to give the child or the children over to dad. Well, either dad comes to her home and picks them up, or she drops them at where he's living now. You know what I'm saying? Or vice versa, as opposed to a parking lot or a McDonald's or so on. But nowadays I've noticed sometimes children are being put on, because I travel a lot, are planes, you know, and they're being delivered by a plane to the other parent, because over time jobs change, people move, you know. So I don't know. I feel very sorry for the kids who are being shuffled like that. And then the other question I was asking is, in both homes, they have their own rooms, their own stuff. And then, so what do? They have to remember, I need to take my iPad. Oh, I have to take my school books. Oh, I need, you know, it's like all this stuff also. And then the final thing is that there's a competition sometimes between the parents, like to spoil them, which is another whole lot. But anyway, just talk about first the exchange of the kids. Like,
yes,
to me, that's critical. Oh. The attitude, the body language when they're exchanging their children, right?
Oh, you nailed it, Janet. That's actually, there are three really important things about the exchange that, regardless of where they're doing it or how it's happening, the parent that has the child and is prepping them to go to the other home, it is so critical to think very intentionally about your facial expression, your body language, and your tone of voice, because that right there communicates to a child if everything's okay or if everything's not okay. And unfortunately, sometimes there's a blind spot where parents are hurting, right? None of us like saying goodbye to our kids. And sometimes parents unintentionally will get very emotional and, oh, I'm going to miss you so much. You know, they might well up with tears. The parent, the adult, you know, feels all of this, feel all these piles of feelings. And then the child's really confused because they end up becoming the caregiver for their parent. You know, oh, mommy, don't be sad. Oh, mommy, you know. And so one of the most important things across the board is if you want to help your child have a whole and healthy heart, not, it's not about your former partner. It's not about the fact that they're having parenting time. It's not at all about that other person. It's about your own child. The greatest gift you can give them is a peaceful, hope-filled handoff. Actually, what I would call a happy handoff. Now, people listening that are in the middle of doing this, they're going to throw a rock at the computer. What do you mean a happy handoff? Nobody's happy. And I understand this is a time that adults really get triggered with each other because you're having to most likely see that other parent who broke your heart. Maybe they were unfaithful. Maybe there's still a lot of painful things happening through the legal system, right? And yet you have to show up and exchange children. And so the intentionality about this is not about the other adult. This is all about that sweet child or children that you love. And usually when I'm working with co-parents together, that's the number one thing for all the things they don't agree on and all the pain between them. 99% of the time, they both love their children with an indescribable love. They do anything to give their child a great life. And so that's when people ask me, what's the one thing? I always go to the handoff. Having a happy handoff, using a tone of voice that says to your child, you know, you have my emotional permission to go and love your other parent, and working, you know, even role-playing that with a best friend ahead of time, you know, how in the world am I going to smile or have a happy handoff, right? This lady's crazy.
Yeah.
But the way I parallel that is if you think about the first day your child went to school, and maybe it was kindergarten or first grade, or maybe you moved to a new city, right? And they're getting ready to go to school. Well, if there's a kid who's not running down the sidewalk excited, maybe they're holding on to their parent and they're unsure, well, I don't know if I want to leave. Well, what does every parent do? We cheer for them, right? We get down on their eye level. We talk about, hey, buddy, you're going to have so much fun at school today. You're going to meet, you talk about where they're going, things they're going to do. You're going to meet new teachers. You're going to make friends. You're probably going to play out on the slide, right? And we, as a parent, we give them the emotional cue that they're going to be okay. And so I challenge parents, go back to that experience, whether it was dropping your child off at summer camp or taking them to school, right? The same loving way that you cheered for them to have confidence and to go, that's the kind of emotion and facial expression and body language you actually want to use at a handoff. And the second thing real quick is one thing that parents really struggle with is making eye contact or even speaking to each other.
Right.
And I try to remind parents that though you have a history with that adult that is painful, your child isn't, you know, don't make them pay for that. And to the child, mom and dad are the superheroes, right? They're their favorite two humans in the world. And if there are two people they love more than anything, and yet they act like they don't know each other, they don't make eye contact, maybe they're really rude, you know, with their facial expression and they say horrible things to each other. Boy, that right there is what defines for children a life that feels broken, because that brokenness, children internalize it. And a lot of kids I work with, they feel like it's their fault, you know, that mommy and dad, they always are arguing about me. It's my fault. Maybe if I would have got better grades, mommy and daddy won't argue. And so though the adults understand this argument is between them, the children are going to absorb that. And so I say to somebody listening, try with every ounce of your being to find a new way to show up at those handoffs, because right. You don't want your children to carry that pain forever. You don't want them to feel like it's their fault.
Right.
And so the last,
well, you know what, Tammy, the handoff probably only takes about 5 minutes. You know what I mean? So you know what? Go for an Academy Award of acting.
Yes.
5 minutes.
Absolutely,
right?
Janet.
It's an Academy Award performance. You can do it, is what I would be saying, right?
Oh.
So, okay. Yes. Handoff. But I think the hardest thing is the holidays. Like, whose turn is it this year to have the child for Thanksgiving? And whose turn for Christmas? And, you know, not all families celebrate Christmas, but whatever that's special around December, Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, whatever it is. But Thanksgiving, all of America, no matter what your faith is, we all do Thanksgiving. And if it's you know, handing them off, I think, for a holiday must be even more stressful, but also stressful with the children. And then I think with when it comes to occasions, like who has the kid for the birthday, and then who's buying the bigger present, and it becomes all this competition of, oh, well, daddy got me a new little electric car. Oh, but mommy got me and my own iPad. And you know what I mean? Like, so there's this jealousy of between the parents.
Yeah.
And you're spoiling the kids, you know, so how do you address all that stuff?
Well, you have great questions here, Miss Janet. I will say, you know, one of the hardest things for the adult is to share their children at those big moments, right? People get used to how they do holidays. They get used to the special memories, and they don't want that to change. The truth is, thinking about the child's experience, again, is always the most important factor. You know, with children, when they grow up and they're our age, they're never going to remember, did I wake up at my mom's house Christmas morning or at my dad's? Did I open gifts on December 22nd or December 25th? The kids, they're not going to remember. What they will carry is how they felt, right? Did mom and dad make it okay for me to love both and come and go between both? Or did I feel like I was on the clock, everybody's watching the time ticker, and I was getting, you know, as one kid said, she's like, I feel like a pawn in a game. I get moved around all the time. Like, well, you have to go half of the Christmas day here and the half of the Thanksgiving day here. And she's like, everybody is half, half, half. It always has to be equal. And she really hates it. I mean, I've worked with her since 15, and she's really hoping once she has a car next year that she can actually change some of that. Sometimes splitting those holidays down the middle isn't the best thing for the kid. No. Now, every family is different. Every family has extended family, sometimes all in one community, sometimes they're states away. So there's not a one size fits all for the holiday. But I say, do what is going to be the kind of parent with the perspective that the decisions I make around holidays, are they for my interests, or am I trying to win a game, right, of competition? Because that game is what that's what kids will remember when they're adults, that, oh, I hated Christmas because everybody was always fighting over my time. Now, they're never going to complain about the extra gifts. I get that. I kind of liked that when I was growing up. I got lots of extra stuff. And I think sometimes parents do that half because they feel guilty, right? They're right. Still sad that this had to happen to their child. And on the other hand, a lot of parents are trying to outdo each other. And I just say with that, you know, think about the long run, right? Everything you model for your child, they're going to become that kind of adult. And if you think it's appropriate to, you know, outdo each other or ask the other parent what they're getting them and then buy that first, you know, between you and God, that you're accountable for that, right? Your kid may not ever complain because they're getting two iPads or two things. But in the long run, what are your motives? Are your motives to focus on the joy and the sacred part of each holiday and make meaningful experiences with your child? Or if you're so focused on trying to outdo your co-parent, I think your focus might be in the wrong place. And right. I do have an article on that, Janet, that's specifically about preparing for holidays, you know, for especially for the alone time that right. a parent will have. And yeah. that's a huge factor and how the parent is when they come back. So yeah, we write about it in the book, but I've also-
I want to remind everyone, you've written this great book. It's called Co-Parenting Works, Helping Your Children Thrive After Divorce. And do they get that on Amazon or where?
Sure, yeah, they can get that from Amazon. You can come to our website, Co-Parenting International. We've got a book. We've got lots of other videos and different resources. And we do have a specific handout. It's an article I wrote for a magazine, and they've given me permission to share it, that does kind of go through a longer list of how to prepare for how to share kids at holidays so that children will enjoy it and parents will have a peaceful experience. So feel free to, you know, come to our website, click on the information for more, and then we can send you those articles, be happy to, for free.
And then of course the hardest thing must be, I think, as the children get a little bit older, those firsts, like for example, when they graduate grammar school, mm-hmm. well, there's only one promotion ceremony. There's only one, you know, could they put their differences aside for a few hours that day and go together, graduating high school, college? I think to have a conflict as to who gets the ticket, who gets to go. I mean, what's been your experience? I mean, have you had any miracles where they can somehow for that one day say, can we celebrate that key moment? Because I think a child is going to remember which parent, whether they were there together at my grammar school or high school or college graduation, or so-and-so got to go, mom got to go and dad couldn't, or vice versa. What's your experience like with those once in a lifetime moments?
Well, sadly, there are some parents who spend more energy hating the other parent and making it hard on them that they take advantage of those moments, quite honestly. I've seen some families, even especially when it comes to wedding day, you know, angry mothers taking advantage of that day to really stick it to the dad. They might have been divorced for 15 years, but she's still angry. And everybody who's part of the wedding picks up on it. So my encouragement is to never take advantage of special moments and push the other parent away, because then you're hurting when you do that is your child, right? And I know I won't blame moms or dads more, but I know of many parents who accidentally forget to share that information with the other co-parent, right? And they find out afterwards that, oh, my child just got a you know, band member of the year award in junior high, and I didn't even get invited. But what they do is create a narrative that, oh, your dad didn't show up, did he? When the whole time behind the scenes, they're manipulating the situation to leave that parent out. And that kind of thing in the long run is, it will backfire. That parent might think they're getting away with it, making it hard and, you know, trying to be the favorite. But in the long run, I promise that kind of motivation, it comes to light. And children ultimately will really be angry at the parent that spends their whole life trying to push the other parent away. So don't be that parent. Instead, be the parent who thinks about the child first. And yes, those experiences are awkward. You know, wedding day is probably one of the most awkward for divorced parents. But the blessing and the gift that moms and dads can give their child is to show up and be mature, to not make the day about them. And I would say, you know, you get to practice that a little bit at junior high celebration. And then they have awards, or they have banquets or choir things, or adult, you know, plays and things in high school. You don't necessarily have to go and sit together. But here's the thing to do after the performance or the event. When that child comes off the stage, their biggest question, quite honestly, is who am I going to go hug first? And kids hate that moment. They hate it with all everything, because they feel like they're in a no-win situation. Right. If I run over here and hug my dad first, my mom's going to get her feelings hurt. If I go hug my mom first, my dad might walk out and not even say hi to me. So be the parent who talks to your kids about that stuff ahead of time and just say, hey, it's going to be great. I'm going to be there tonight. Your dad's going to be there. And when it's over, we're going to be so excited to hug you and high five you. But don't, you know, don't worry who you go to first. You can always go to your dad first. Or if they come running to you and you're the mom, make sure you say, hey, go give daddy a hug and take your time talking to daddy. We're not in a hurry. It's moments like that, that children, that adults make the choice to either pull their kids into this divided self, this broken life by being angry and being rude, or proactively try to help the child so that they know they don't have to pick a favorite. You're not going to get your feelings hurt if they hug the other parent first. Mm-hmm. And if you're the one who's taking them home that night from the celebration, be mature, be very proactive and say, hey, go hug, spend time with your other parent for a while. I'll wait over here. Take your time. It's little things like that that really take the edge off of it for kids, because otherwise children will spend all of their life not knowing what to do. I know many children, like I could tell you a dozen stories right off the top, who have stopped playing an instrument in band. They stopped playing soccer. They don't want to play volleyball anymore, all because it's so stressful when their parents are there. And those kinds of behaviors by parents, unfortunately, they rob the joy of their kids being able to do what kids should be able to do at those ages.
Normal stuff, right?
Yeah. So,
Tammy, you are such a gift. You really are. This is a really fabulous resource. So, you know, go to coparentinginternational.com. That's coparentinginternational.com, because there's so much resources, like you said, you have up there, videos, information, because everybody should go a step further right now. And guess what? Even if you're not divorced, maybe you know a couple who is divorced and they're struggling, and you could be the messenger of some good news here that, oh my goodness, I saw this program and there's help out there. And of course, this book, it's great. Co-parenting, it works. Mm-hmm. And I hope you get a copy today. So Tammy, thank you for joining me, okay?
Thank you.
God bless. Well, brothers and sisters, I hope you found this discussion honest and helpful. And I understand, listen, the goal is we don't want to see anyone getting a divorce at all. As Christians, we want to heal marriages and stay together as much as we can. But obviously, by statistics, we know a lot of couples are getting divorced. And so we've got to take steps to do what's best for our children so we raise healthy children even though their parents are divorced. So thank you for joining me. Until next time, Janet Morena, Executive Director, Priest for Life. God bless you.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.